Oh, I swear to God. Whoa.
That was really gross.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. There. Half the sip came back up into my mouth.
Yeah, we could hear it. What are you doing?
Another amazing episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour
Ladies Night.
What up? My name is Maud Garrett.
I'm Alison Hayslip. And for the next 30-ish minutes, we are going to sip some very fancy booze and spit some news. And of course, we're doing it all with white wine mandango Tom Krajewski.
Hello.
Citra Tron beer.
Citra Tron. The three of us are currently drinking very fancy beers because this is a very special episode. We have guests here in our studio with us, Brad and Sandra. Thank you so much for joining
us.
They're here because they contributed to Heart Baby Eggplant, and now they're here for a recording of the show. I do have to say, apparently last night they went to a live taping of How Did This Get Made, which is a much fancier podcast than ours. So I feel a
Why don't you start with us?
I know, we have a lot to live up to right now.
He didn't get this close
Tom,
to them,
Tom, take
though,
your shirt off.
Okay,
it needs to happen. There it is. Get your nips out.
But before they came, they sent us a bunch of amazing beer. So they're from North Carolina. And apparently
Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Charlotte.
And they live right by this beer shop called Salud Beer Shop, which is actually, it won like best beer bar ever. It's number one on the list. And so we brought these fancy beers.
Best beer bar in America?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, because these are all different states.
I feel like we should have gone to visit him then.
Yeah, right? We should have just done the show at Salud. Tom, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking the Citra Tron. It's a New England style India Pale Ale, 6.9% alcohol. So I'm going to get a little messed up, guys.
Yeah.
What's mine got? Mine's got two people.
Dear God. Wow.
That even surprised you.
She was burping before the show started, too. This is making her gassy.
Hi.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that punched out of my throat.
That was amazing. Wait, what's yours called?
It's
adorable.
Called the Cavu Blonde Ale. And there's like two people that look like they're in a 50s movie. And I believe that their lips are touching, but it looks like his tongue in her throat.
Oh, yeah. That's an aggressive kiss.
Beautiful. Only 4.6.
Yeah, that's a normal, pretty normal beer.
Yeah.
I remember my first beer too, Maud. 6.9% right here.
Mine's called a Damn Fine Time Heavy Lager Beer. And it's a real simple. Oh, it's made with 100% Appalachian Mountain Water.
Woo, 100%.
What? Yep.
But where's the alcohol in your mountain water?
No, it's made. That's the water it's made with. Then they add all the stuff that makes the alcohol. But mine's a 5%.
Don't ask Maud.
What does 100% if it's not 100%?
No, it's made with. That's not the ingredients.
It's not is 100%.
Oh.
The water that is used is 100% mountain.
I'm with you.
Just burp again, we'll forgive you for that.
It works 100% of the time. No, 60% of the time. Every time.
Yeah. But this is fantastic, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, thanks, Brad.
Thank you, Brad and Sandra.
Awesome. I'm not allowed to drink beer anymore, and you've just heard why. So, hey, let's join the party.
Yes.
I apologize for being late as well. I was about 4 or 5 minutes late.
I mean, that
happened?
Was really, really
we
inappropriate.
We were worried. We thought things happened.
Yeah. Well, I have a hair appointment after this.
Okay.
And I thought that maybe my hair was a little bit too dirty.
Oh, I've been there.
To go to the hairdressers. And then I was thinking about that, and I'm like, well, the whole point of going to the hairdresser is that she's going to wash my hair.
Yeah.
But then I'm like...
But they're normally going to do stuff before they wash it, right?
But at the same time, it's like hair is hair, and it's just going to get washed. So, like, whatever. They're just slapping on some stuff. And then I realize I'm also the kind of person that will clean my apartment before the cleaner comes.
Oh.
Yeah.
And whatever... Yeah, everyone's nodding. Okay, yes. I'm not alone here.
No.
So it's like the person whose job is to do something, I will make sure that like it's kind of all done before it happens because I don't want them to think that I'm a mess.
Brush your teeth before you go to the dentist
thing. Well, but also because it's like you want the professionals to enhance it.
Yeah,
you know?
Not get bogged down by like, you know...
Right. Like,
stuff that
this is what I can do. But you're pro at this, so I want you to just enhance what I can already do.
But I also want to be like, you know, I don't have to have a cleaner. Like, I'm not a trashy monster.
I do. I can't clean a bathroom.
I mean, I'm not great at it.
Clean a bathroom?
No, if you held a gun to my head, yes, I could clean a bathroom. I just sort of refuse to clean a bathroom.
If it's too big, I don't want to do it either.
What is the chore that you would rather pay someone do than ever do again.
Clean the bathroom.
The bathroom's yours.
I actually like doing dishes. I'm one of those people. Oh, see?
I love washing them by hand.
Yeah.
What? It's one of the few things I can accomplish.
No. I've had a dishwasher since I was like 7.
See, we didn't grow up with them.
I also can't remember the last time I vacuumed.
I love vacuuming too.
I'm too tall to vacuum.
They don't make them high enough.
Hurt your back leaning over.
I have to get down and dirty. And
so you need a cleaning person.
Hire me. Yeah. I'll vacuum and do your dishes.
I mean, the dishes. I have a protocol with my dishwasher.
Oh, you're one of those
people. To the point where it's like,
you have an actual. You mean you have like a machine, like a dishwasher machine?
I do have a dishwasher machine.
But you mean like how you put them in? Yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah,
it's a particular process, and my roommate just goes gung ho, and if it fits, it sits.
Nope, you got
it. And I have to take it out, and then put it back in the.
How do you put your silverware in the dishwasher?
Down.
Yes, thank you. No, you have to take it so you can take the handle.
Yeah,
out when you take it out. Otherwise, you're touching the thing.
No. And then it's only me. It's like, why
care? He puts the knives. He puts the knives facing up.
I put the knives down.
No.
What is this?
All silverware should go in handle up. So when it's done cleaning, you take the handle out.
Yeah.
And don't you live alone? Who cares?
Well, I don't have a dishwasher, so it doesn't matter. I'm just saying, if I did have a dishwasher,
it is a protocol.
That is how it goes in.
It is an unspoken rule.
Exactly.
But I mean, who does not know how to stack a dishwasher?
Mm-hmm. And many, many people.
If you put a giant pot right at the bottom.
Oh, jeez. That's not going to get the.
It doesn't stop all the water coming out to the edge of the dishwasher. You basically.
You got to put it on its side.
Yeah.
Or even off the top if it fits.
Yeah. I hear you. I am picking up what you are putting down, Maude.
The worst part about me cleaning for the cleaner is that I have an old school cleaner who was disappointed in my modern-esque cleaning products.
Oh, no.
So I had a Swiffer with the jet.
Yeah.
And she looks at me and she's like, no. This is no good. And I was just like, but it's like, it's better. It's even more expensive. And I don't, like, I have the disposable pads on the bottom
the
of
same
it.
Thing, yeah.
She will Swiff that off and then put on like a rag. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Because it's like a reusable rag.
Old school rags.
Yeah.
I had to steal a towel from the gym.
You stole a towel?
Accidentally. I left with it and then went, I should really take it back. And then I thought, no, because my cleaning lady.
She will use it.
She's going to rip me a new one if I don't rip this up and use it.
Yeah.
That's
she doesn't like. She doesn't like the little Clorox
The wipes?
Yeah. No good. No good.
Well, that's not meant to really clean. That's just meant to like de-germify things.
Only thing I've got. I thought that they were a one and done.
No.
Thing. Yeah. Okay. Well, now I'm learning.
That's more like
guess whose bathroom's clean.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Well, yeah. No. I scheduled my cleaning lady for this week because my bathroom needs to get cleaned.
What is it about the bathroom?
It's because that's where all the gross stuff happens.
The poopy.
Yeah. That's what I mean, Mom.
I've got this thing that I bought Amazon. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
It doesn't feel like I'm spending my money. That's
the problem.
It's
with like
Amazon.
Vegas. You don't realize you're spending money.
Yeah. My gosh, there is no daylight when I go onto Amazon.com.
No, not at all.
But they've got these disposable little toilet cleaners where you put it on and then you press a button and it goes thunk.
Yeah.
No, not the sticky ones on the side.
Oh, no, right.
This is like a little cleaning sponge.
Yeah.
Oh.
Game changer. Those. They are pretty good.
The problem is they're one and done, and I'm like, I'm not spending $12 for 4 of these.
No.
And I'm just swishing it around.
So you tried to what? You tried to save them? You tried to reuse them?
Maude!
Where did you store them?
In the toilet, the brush holder thing. Maude, it's got a little bin. Don't judge me about that one.
Even Brad is disappointed in you.
Brad, let me have that one.
You lost Brad.
It's in my toilet.
Maude, there's two things you can't reuse. Toilet cleaners and I think condoms, I think.
Oh dear Lord, I'm really concerned.
That was in our sex ed class, I think, back in like.
I've got to just get a window of.
Well, at least you had a sex ed class.
I did have a sex ed class.
Yeah. I had a sex ed mom.
I know, that's amazing.
Maude, you've told me some stories that I think are hilarious, and I won't repeat them. But I loved one of your mom's stories. Just want to share.
I feel
that.
Like we've only heard all of her stories on this podcast.
No, Maude.
So.
I think no.
Did she tell you one?
No.
She told you one off mic.
What's a code name that you would use to bring up that story?
You came home late one night.
Oh yeah.
You said that? Is she okay? I just think it's a good story.
Yeah, because, you know, my mum was using reverse psychology throughout my teenage years to stop me from having sex, and I didn't even realize.
Oh.
She, from about 16, told me how excited she would be for me to have sex.
Oh.
And how great it is, and it's such an amazing
so
experience.
So then you're like, well, I don't want to do anything that would make my mom happy.
I was frightened at the notion. And I remember she would be like, have a look inside your bedside table drawer. And
I'd open it up. She bought you condoms.
Condoms, sachets of lube. And she got them all from the sexual health clinic.
Sachets.
And I was just like, and she goes, your father and I are going away this weekend, so if you want to invite a boy over.
And you were like,
set. No. I couldn't even stay in the house.
Yeah. Really?
I went to my best friend's house and I couldn't even step foot in that room because she had like smutted it up.
Oh my gosh.
With her consent.
Yes, with her consent.
How dare she be so
smutted it up.
And forward thinking with her daughter.
And then fast forward 18 months. And Morty, you know, being nearly 18, was just like, I think I'm ready.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was great. I used all of the advice that she gave me.
Oh.
And it was well done, Maud. And then I got home at about 2 o'clock in the morning and I opened the front door and Mum was like, do you have any idea what time you had sex?
She said that.
She called it.
She knew.
She knew the second it had happened that I walked in. And I was just like, yeah, dude.
Was she excited for you?
Well, that's when I kind of realized the whole thing was a bit of a ruse. And she was like, were you safe? Who was there?
Right.
She knew who
was there.
Who
chaperoned?
She knew who it was because I'd been seeing him on or off for like a year and a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Well,
it was kind of delightful, though.
So that's your favorite story.
It's a funny story. It's a very, you know, beautiful story of a mom.
I just wish everyone had that kind of relationship with their parents.
Yeah.
You know, especially in those formative years where it's, I don't know, you don't have to be their best friend. Mum really established it. She was my mother.
Yeah.
She set the rules. But she also was just like, I'd rather you be able to talk with me about this than make every mistake and some of these mistakes be permanent.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So that
that's a good mum.
Yeah, it is. Hey, speaking.
You got yourself a good mum.
She's the
a good
best.
Mom.
She's the best. I love her to bits.
Yeah.
She's so cool. I want to show her off all the time.
Does she look like you? I'd love to see a picture
that's
of her
awesome.
Sometime, actually.
I'm kind of like
Kathy Bates.
She looks like Kathy Bates?
She looks like Kathy Bates.
Wow.
To the point where I interviewed, but like half a foot taller.
Okay.
Wow.
No, nearly an entire foot taller. But when I interviewed Kathy Bates, I got immediately homesick.
Oh.
And I was like, can you hug me?
Did you?
This is weird. I'm like, you don't sound like my mom. So if you could not talk and hold me,
yes,
that would
be way
really
better.
Did you say that to her, really?
Pretty much.
That's amazing.
But she was a good hug. She's just disproportionate. She my mum's taller.
What were you interviewing her for?
Kathy Bates. It was I think Tammy, a movie.
Oh yeah,
starring...
the Melissa McCarthy movie.
Oh
yeah.
right.
Was Kathy Bates in that as playing her mum?
I think
oh,
so.
Oh yes, I think
one
you're
of
right.
Those movies. Mm-hmm.
I like showing my parents off too. Like when they come to visit, I like set up dates with my friends to be like, me and my parents are going to be at this bar. Everyone come by so you can like hang with my parents.
Oh, that's cool of you. Wow. I've never met your parents either.
You haven't?
My parents also never come to visit, so I have no chance to show them off. Back in Boston.
Oh,
they have
Boston.
Other five other kids and then a bunch of other grandkids, so they're kind of busy.
So you're the least
just
important.
Fine. I'm
you're
fine
the
with
least
that.
Important
I'm
out of
support,
all.
Right?
How often do you see them?
Once a year
I'm
and a half,
a year.
2 years maybe.
Yeah.
But that's because she lives on the other side of the world.
It's devastating.
It's just the other side of the
I hate
country.
It.
I like Los Angeles too much.
I hate it.
I miss you guys if I left.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, well.
Is that the Citrotron talking?
Especially you, Allison.
Especially me.
Hey.
Especially, yes.
Before we get into emails, I have another announcement.
Oh, great. Ooh. I like announcements.
I'm officially a voice actor.
Fantastic.
Ooh, this is not, you were already doing the AI that's going to be.
That's voiceover.
Okay.
So that's sort of like being the presenter with your voice.
Correct.
But now I've dabbled into this.
And what is it?
Side.
Can you tell us?
I can. The first episode, just episode.
Episode?
That word.
You're fantastic.
Episode.
This is, I mean, I've drunk half of it.
You're rereading your beer.
First episode is up right now on a site called Octopi.
Octopi, like octopus pie.
Yep.
Or just
great.
Many
or eight pies.
It's an animated series called Under the Influencer.
Oh.
And it's about a family, mum and dad and three kids, and dad decides to quit his job and thinks that the best way for success is to become a family vlogger.
I totally agree. It's a great career decision.
Yeah. Much the dismay yes. of the eldest child who's okay. just trying to get through high school.
Yes, and not be mortally embarrassed by... Wow. I think I want to say mortified, yep. and then I said mortally embarrassed, but I guess I guess mortified could be described as being mortally embarrassed.
No, as a teenager, yes. you are mortally embarrassed.
yes.
Like, you are so embarrassed, it will kill you.
Right. That so was, who do you voice?
Like, the mom, Janet.
The mom, Janet?
And I, oh, do you guys want to interview Janet?
Yes, yeah. please. So
I'll get her, hold on.
Okay. Janet!
yes.
Janet!
Come on. It's your first interview.
Really?
That's exciting. Hello. Yes.
Hello. Janet, how are you feeling today?
Oh, hello there. Look yeah. at you. You're so cute.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Hello, Tom.
Hi, Janet.
Oh, my goodness. If I was 10 years younger, Tom.
Oh, you mean
married.
20, though.
I'm 20. A married woman.
Yeah, so tell us about your family, Janet.
Oh, well, I have a husband. Mm-hmm. He sounds angry, but he really is a sweetheart inside.
Okay.
I have three children. I only remember one of their names.
at all times? Or is this just...
There's June.
Is this the beer speaking?
I don't drink
beer.
That's a man's drink. I just drink a woman's drink, like wine or a spritzer.
A spritzer.
Anyway, I'm a stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
It's very good.
Why should people watch your show?
Oh, my goodness. We have to pay the bills. Let's be honest. And I don't know why my husband thought it was a good idea to start this show, but yes. here we are, and mm-hmm. we're going to exploit our children.
Oh. Is the show made for children?
yeah. Not at all. No, but I want everyone to watch it.
Okay, great. And where can people watch it?
Wait, no, I'm breaking the fourth wall. Under the Influencer.
There we
Under
go.
The
Which
influencer.
Can be found in our world as at octopi.com.
All right, go. You're done.
Yeah. That's exciting.
Where'd she go? Janet was just here.
I put her back in the box.
Yeah. Go back to your home.
My direction with Janet is that I basically channeled the opposite of my mom.
So your mom's actually like what are you doing over here?
No.
Oh, my gosh. That's exciting,
mode.
Too.
Oh, yes, it's night mode. That's what I picture your mom sounding like.
No.
That was pretty good. Come on.
Tom.
You just said the opposite. Janet sounded very sweet.
As a sound. I'm talking about as the character.
Oh, sorry. I still like my
Maude's
lady
mom
impression.
Would drink beer.
Would she?
Apparently.
She does.
That's what we're saying.
Foster.
Tom, do you want to tell everyone about your big Hollywood break this
Actually,
week?
Actually, Maude's mom would school Janet about misogyny and about sexism.
There you go.
And about, being a kept woman.
Okay, so Tom has a Hollywood story.
I broke into Hollywood this past week for the second time. I had a big comeback.
This is your resurgence.
Big resurgence.
Oh, we got beer to celebrate.
Yeah.
This is probably going to make me the biggest star in the world.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I can say I knew Tom before he was like the second time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to guest star on this new web series, Heart Baby Eggplant with Allison Haseley.
Yeah. How'd it go?
It was awesome.
Tom crushed.
Did I really?
Yes. So you have to understand, because I wanted both of you guys to be in it. Unfortunately, when the scene I wanted Maude to be in, Maude was in London when we were shooting it. So Maude cannot be in the show. But Tom, we originally had Tom in mind for this one role that was just supposed to be like super fit dude walking down the hiking trail.
I was flattered about that.
Which had no lines. And then that got cut. Yeah. And so I was like, I still want to try to get Tom in it. So we got him in a scene. I don't even want to say what the scene is because it would just spoil everything. But he has one line.
What is it? What's your one line?
I won't do it because it'll
kind of spoil what it is.
Is it never heard of him?
No.
Never.
No.
I can barely remember what it is. But it was me and surprise guest Alex.
Alex Albrecht was also one of these in
the
scene.
With us four actor dudes coming across Allison.
Yeah.
And Alex says something funny. Kevin says something funny.
Yeah, Kevin Pereira and Jonathan Fernandez were our four dudes.
Is Jonathan another co-host that you've collected?
No, but I tried to make it all co-hosts. I really, really did. I wanted Blair Herder to be the other guy, but he was unavailable. He's too busy being a fancy TV producer now. And I really wanted to get Jonathan in the show somehow as well. So I was like, it kind of breaks the pattern, but
now you have to host something.
Actually, that's a lie. Jonathan and I met because we co-hosted a pilot together.
That'll do.
So it just never aired.
That checks.
And we have co-hosted charity events together. So yes, Jonathan is one of my co-hosts.
Yay.
So everyone was a former co-host. That's what's so funny is like Jonathan's the only one who's like actually an actor. Yeah. And the other three guys, I was like, it's one line. They can't botch it up. They were all so good.
Really?
I mean, I was so impressed with what each of them brought and such so individual to like specific to their personalities, and like Tom actually like added a line that all of us he said that and we were like, keep doing that. Okay. It was so funny.
You ad-libbed?
He ad-libbed and it was hilarious.
So we'll see. It was thank you for asking me to do it because I had a blast and it was really cool.
Yeah, of course.
And it was
can
the last day of
shooting.
Can we
just hear the line?
No, because it's...
No, it'll really give it away if we say his line.
Yeah. I'll do it for you afterwards.
But hey, hey, Brad, you helped make that happen.
Yeah,
so.
Brad did.
I know, we did.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, we should...
Let's take a quick break.
We're moving along in this show. Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, we are back, and we have to talk about something very important because this is the week of San Diego Comic-Con.
San Diego Comic-Con.
San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Whale Vagina's Comic-Con.
As we announced... As we announced on last week's episode, we will be doing a live show at San Diego Comic-Con, so if you're going to be there, please come see us.
It'll be Friday.
It's July 19th. It's coming Friday. It'll be at Duckfoot Brewing in the East Village.
East Village, people.
Make sure it's the East Village one. It's the one that's just a few blocks away from Petco Park.
Yeah.
We will be starting recording no later than 2:30. We will be arriving at 2 and we have to set up, so show up around 2. And Duckfoot
Brewing.
I'm probably
going to have to eat, so yeah.
That's what I was just going to talk about, because Duckfoot... Okay, so our buddy Mike Palmer, who's been a huge supporter of this show... He sent an email. So on last week's episode, I was like, they somehow make their beers with less gluten. And he sent an email being like, I'm going to explain to you how that happens. So we all know what we're talking about.
Yay.
So he says this, hey there, it's beer buddy Mike.
Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hello, and welcome to the show, Maude.
Daggers cut me before
I said that. Maude, look, do your job.
And I'm like, glunk, glunk, glunk. Oh, I'm Australian.
I know. So he says, I've heard you guys attempt to describe the magic of how beer becomes gluten-free. Thought you guys and listeners might like to hear the science behind it. For 20 years in the brewing industry, I've struggled with gluten and had no good solutions when
bitch,
it came to
same.
Beer. Yeah. Maude, this is going to be your savior.
You're my bitch, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
I love you.
So beer is made with barley and sometimes wheat, which are both on the no-fly list. For gluten. So to get a gluten-free beer, you need to use alternative grains like rice, millet, sorghum, and other stuff.
I'm actually good with barley, not good with rye.
Oh, interesting.
Wheat and rye are my devils.
You might have a malt allergy then.
Oh,
Dr. Hayslip over here.
Yeah.
You might have a malt allergy.
Actually, no, malt is in barley, so that makes no sense whatsoever. Okay. Don't listen to me. I'm a scientist. The end result was something that could sometimes taste good, but never really tasted like beer and was often pretty awful.
Mm.
All this changed in 2011 when I was working at Stone. Our brewmaster, Mitch, was bummed out that our IPA was developing chill haze, much like in Breaking Bad when a perfect batch of meth would come out blue.
Yep.
I guess that makes sense.
Oh, that was season 2, if
yeah.
I'm not mistaken.
Stone's brewing equipment and processes were becoming so perfect that IPAs were coming out hazy.
Whoa.
In perfect conditions, tiny little chains form from malt proteins and hop polyphenols. Which has no effect on taste or longevity of the beer, but would freak people out when they poured a hazy glass of beer. Mind you, this was long before hazy IPAs became trendy and common.
That's the thing. You just got to make them popular.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so the brewing department solved the issue by using a relatively new thing called Clarity Firm. Firm is F-E-R-M, so I'm thinking that means fermentation.
Mm.
When added to a fermenter of beer, it broke apart those tiny chains and returned the beer to clear. Thanks, science!
Science.
This is the point where a happy accident happened. Someone in the industry noticed there was something settling at the bottom of the fermenters when using Claritin Firm, gluten. Turns out this magic potion could take any beer and knock the gluten out of it.
Brilliant.
Double thanks, science.
Science.
This was great news to Matt, the co-owner of Duckfoot, which is the brewery that we will be at, because he has celiac.
Yeah.
So all of Duckfoot's beers are made using Clarity Firm, and every batch is sent to an independent lab to test that gluten levels are below 20 parts per million, which is equivalent to what the FDA considers gluten-free.
Hey!
Look at that. Yep. Currently, the federal government hasn't fully blessed this process to be labeled gluten-free, so beers made this way are known as gluten-reduced. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, in the next few years, all the breweries making gluten-reduced beers will be able to proudly put gluten-free on their bottles and cans. And now you know the rest of the story.
I want to be an official tester.
Yes. Yeah.
You should. From me. Mm-hmm. Within about 40 minutes, whether it's gluten-free or not.
Exactly. Well, no, this isn't one of those beers.
No, that's what
you're saying. Oh, yeah, you mean when we're there.
May God have mercy on your soul.
Well, and so this is what I was going to say about the food, is all the food at Duck Foot is gluten-free as well. So you'll be able to eat all the gluten-free food there.
Yeah. I'm going to be so happy.
Just to finish it off, Mike says, looking forward to seeing you guys next week at Duckfoot East Village for the live podcast. Oh, he's going to come visit us.
Yay! Sweet. Good.
Speaking of, the Duckfoot gang brewed up a special beer with the co-creator of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Nice. Shut up. I interviewed him at Comic-Con like 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. So, and it will be released at their East Village location, which is where we are going to be Saturday of Comic-Con. But you guys will get to try it a day early.
Yes!
What? It is called Drawing Blood Wit Beer with blood orange and hibiscus, and has art from Kevin Eastman's new Drawing Blood comic on the label.
Oh, cool.
So that is what
I love it.
That's what we will be drinking at the live show. And then everyone else, you're going to have to go back on Saturday to get your own, because we're going to take all the special stuff up front.
Oh, nice.
I'm trying to think of just like names of beers that have Ninja Turtle references in them.
I'm going
to
be like, drunk from Friday afternoon onwards.
Michelob Angelo.
You're going to wait until Friday? Oh, you have it early.
I'm Friday morning.
Can I tell everyone about the one that I'm doing that morning?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I'm going to be on a sci-fi panel.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, you're going to be on the panel?
I'm going to be on the panel.
Oh, I thought you were moderating it.
No.
What is the panel about?
It's called...
like a sci-fi channel?
It came from the 90s.
Oh.
So we're talking old school nostalgia.
Yes.
We're going to be diving into all pop culture and awesome things that came out in the 90s. I've already had to start doing my research. Turns out Dungeons and Dragons, the animated series... 1987.
Oh, too early.
To 1989.
Did you not know that?
Too early.
I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, that's why it's a Stranger
Things. I thought it went for longer than 2 years.
No, I have the DVD set.
I got the DVD set too. That's how I found out.
Yeah.
I turned the box over.
It's
great. When and where can people see you on the panel?
I don't know where because I'm terrible. Oh, there, you pulled it up. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
thank you, Podcat.
Yay. The 90s were awesome.
Ballroom 20. Friday, July 19 at 10:15 a.m.
Oh, you're going to be on with Orlando Jones, Jason Mewes, Jonah Ray, Liza Skinner, and Milana Vantrup. Nice.
Look at
you, huh?
Yeah. Jonah Ray, it will be good. Jason Mewes is Jay from Jay and Silent Bob.
Yep. Jason Mewes.
Orlando Jones, I've interviewed him for Alpha Book Club, so it's great to see him again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
That's.
And of course, I'm going to wear what?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you have to wear your what line.
Yeah, I think that's the only reason why I'm on it is because I have a clothing line.
They're like, she will look great.
Inspired by the 90s.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That'll be fun.
That's fantastic. So you're going to do that panel, and then you're going to come, and you're going to eat gluten-free food, and we're going to do a podcast at Duckfoot Brewing East Village. So hopefully everyone out there.
Friday's going to be a good day. It's totally Fri-yay.
Yeah. Fri-yay. It is Fri-yay. All right, let's get into some of the emails. Let's see. Oh, God. We still have so many good ones.
So many.
Oh, here. This is good. Okay. Do you remember last week how we talked about the Jedi Disposal Act?
Yes.
I told people about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is from Neil. He says, oh, hi, Allison, Maude, and Tom.
Hi, Neil.
He doesn't do that.
Oh.
I'm kneeling down for you.
Oh. There you go.
Whoa.
He says, so regarding
that
last week's...
Don't take it there. Whoa. I just used Neil in a sentence. Did everyone get a little bit of a gutter?
You Brad
in
did.
We got
is everyone in the gutter from that one? I'm kneeling down.
You're the one that's always in the gutter, Maude. So if we do it...
What else? What other pun can I use for Neil, though?
Yeah,
apart
I don't disagree.
Kneeling down. I nearly said it wrong. Like, what?
Yeah, I like that one.
Okay.
Nearly.
Right. We nearly got there.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
So, Neil.
I'm so upset about that.
Did you just kneel, Maude? Did you just kneel?
Did you just kneel?
Mama.
Sorry.
Okay.
Mom.
Wow. Okay.
So, regarding last week's episode about the outdoor cremation law in Missouri. The word cremation, because remember you were like, why does it sound like cream?
Yeah.
Yeah. The word cremation comes from Latin cremare, which is K-R-E-M-A-R-E.
Oh, I like that.
Crem, meaning to be consumed by fire, of the Dead is in parentheses, as opposed to Cream, which we were talking about, which comes from charisma, derived from Greek charisma, which is spelled K with a K in the front. That means ointment or unguent.
Can I just say, of course Americans are going to want to say the charismatic version over the true. It is cremation.
Creme.
That's
true.
Latin version says that I am right.
The earliest example of cremation dates from 17,000 years ago at Lake Mungo in Australia. Ahem, come on,
I used to vacation
double
there.
Yes. And can be found in many Middle Eastern and Bronze Age and Iron Age European cultures.
Oh, it's called cremation.
Cremation. But it is definitely aluminum and not aluminium.
Aluminium. Nuclear. Yeah. It's nuclear.
But Neil just like fully scienced us on that.
It's so nice to be right for once when it comes to language, because I'm wrong for everything else apparently.
But you do it really well being wrong.
Patronize. You patent an idea and you patronize a person. I will take it to the grave where I'll be cremated.
Whoa.
I'm going to spread your ashes. I'm going to do it.
Where were the three places that I would want?
The three places that you would want to be spread or that I would
want
to spread you?
My little body dust. Where would you put it?
Where would I
put
it?
Go on. This is a friend test.
I don't know. Maybe in front of an In-N-Out. I got three choices. They can't all be winners.
Okay.
In-N-Out.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that's a bomb.
Where am I spreading Maude's ashes?
Yeah. I choose In-N-Out.
Why?
Is that because I threw up there
I'm
one
really
time?
I'm really hungry. Because what?
Because I threw up there.
She threw up there once.
Just once.
Just
and I don't
once
want to be remembered.
Oh, maybe
that.
In that haunted cellar you told us about in Australia. The haunted one where you
Waterloo Hotel.
The one where you
for
brought
all
the ghost
Sydney
home.
Listeners in the rocks.
Yeah.
No, I'd probably just spread your ashes out in your Ayers Rock or something like that, even though you're. You know.
I feel like I would go to the top of.
What's wrong?
I've never been there.
Yeah. Now you will go once you die.
See,
I will take you to Ayers Rock.
Yeah. It is actually the only place I haven't been.
Okay, you're
right
welcome.
In the middle.
See, there's a winner in there.
I think I would go on Tower of Terror and just like chuck you out right at the top before we plummet.
Yes. Just like
you would
big cloud of Maude. Yeah.
You would hear my ashes screaming and then that would turn to liquid because I would have wet myself.
Although it's not even Tower of Terror anymore. It's the Guardians of the Galaxy
escape
ride.
Escape from something or other.
Yeah.
It is the Tower of Terror, though, because when you go up that tower, there's nothing but terror. You don't guard the galaxy with that. You die.
You die of a heart attack.
You rule the galaxy with terror, right?
With terror. It should be called like the Ride of Ronin or something.
Oh.
Right. You're welcome, Disney. I'll have that one.
The Ride of
that
Ronin.
That is a great one.
Thank you.
All right. I got another good email here. It's called A Grateful Git.
A Grateful Git.
Hello, Allison, Maude, Tom, and Podcat. You got Aristotle's like just perked up. He's like, all right, I'm still here.
Who's the email from?
This is from Christopher.
Hi, Christopher.
He doesn't say specifically hi to you. He said,
"Are you sure he doesn't though?" Because I feel like he does.
I will keep reading, and we will find out. Just a quick email to thank you all for the laughs over the years, and share one quick story.
Ooh.
I just completed my general surgery residency, and have spent a lot of time over the last week thanking people for supporting me through the roller coaster of medical training.
Well, Christopher's smart.
That has been the last 9 years of my life, and you all certainly make that list. So wait, first this is a thank you, and then he gets to the story, and he says, "For the last 5 years, I have worked on average 70 to 80 hours a week.
Gross.
Taken on average one day off per week. And pretty much other weekend have worked a 24 to 28 hour shift, during which I was usually lucky if I could get 30 minutes of sleep."
No.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
How are you supposed to save lives when you're nearly dead?
Yeah. Have you watched Grey's Anatomy?
A lot.
Yeah. Things go wrong.
And they don't even sleep. They have sex.
Yeah, I know.
Do they not know what rest feels like? It's so much better than sex.
It really can be.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Sleep any day.
Yeah. I discovered the 4-H podcast about 2.5 years ago, and since then has become a big part of my post-work routine. The laughs are a great way to start to decompress after some of the intense days we have at the hospital. Physician burnout is a huge topic in the medical world right now, and finding ways to recharge your batteries after dealing with illness and death all day is one of the crucial techniques that is often cited to help reduce the risk of burnout. For me, this podcast is one of the tools I have used to that effect. correct. Aww. Though I must admit the podcast has almost gotten me in trouble because on several occasions when I was fed up with all the BS that goes with training, I've been tempted to answer science, science, science in conference when asked about pathophysiology of different diseases. I think I said that word right.
That's good. Diseases? Yeah, I get diseases.
Yeah, okay. Fortunately, so far I have managed not to do that, though now that I think of it, that would be a great line to use as a fellow slash attending when a resident asks a question. I'll have to hold on to that.
Okay.
And now to the story.
Oh, beautiful.
On a recent episode, Maud talked about patients performing certain activities while on methamphetamine. Remember, we told the story about the guy who got arrested because he was jacking off while walking to Arby's?
Oh, yeah.
Like he was just like masturbating while walking to Arby's. And you were like, he is on meth. Yeah.
Yeah.
My story on this topic is the time a trauma patient came in after taking meth and had a CT scan in which the final radiologist report called, said it was a priapism.
Spell it out.
Priasmia, right?
Priasmia?
Yeah, I feel like I
P-R-I-A-P-I-S-M.
Tom, that was really well done. You sounded smart.
Priapism.
Priapism? I don't know. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, he says, you know, that condition the Viagra commercials always say to call a doctor
yeah.
about.
Oh, boy.
So he was stunted of that?
He was
no,
not
he had it.
Too much of it. He was fully, like, erected for way too long.
Whoa,
oh, dear.
I then had to call the radiologist to inform them that the patient did not, in fact, have priapism, but had simply been masturbating in the CT scanner immediately prior to the image being taken and then resumed as soon as the scan was complete.
What? What?
Oh, my God. Sir, could you please not touch yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
We're doing a medical exam on you. Could you refrain from touching your dick?
Is that what Janet does?
No, she would be like, oh, I don't want to talk about it.
I had to reassure the radiologist that I had confirmed that the, quote, condition had resolved and asked him to remove that diagnosis from the report before some aggressive ED doc decided they needed to jam a needle in this guy's penis to drain the blood from his erection.
Whoa.
That is certainly one of the more bizarre calls I have made to radiology.
Wow.
And Chris says, thanks for all the laughs, which have helped me after many rough days in the hospital. Pass my thanks along to Alex if when you see him. I will do that, Chris. I know.
That's a very scary thing, too.
Look, if you ever want to feel better about your life, but also have your mind blown, ask anyone who works in a hospital the worst thing they've ever seen.
Yeah, it's like never as bad as anything that has ever gone on in your life, right? What have you heard?
That told you about the one.
Wait, what?
Where the guy ripped his dick off.
Oh, right.
Okay, how do you top that?
No, you don't.
I'm out. I'm exempt from that question forevermore.
Right. You're right.
Yep.
The problem is I was like, I could think of stories, but then I really don't know if they're stories that I've heard in real life or just watched on Grey's Anatomy.
That's a sense. So
exactly.
Similar. And I started watching House as well. And now House someone has something, I'm like, it sounds like
lupus. They always try to make it lupus. And then there's one episode where it was actually lupus. And they literally had a line. They were like, wow, it was lupus.
Was.
Yeah, because it was like always a suggestion in every episode.
My favorite part of that show is once they're trying to diagnose the person, they always like break into their apartment or house and like search through everything.
Dude, it's like CSI, illegally. But you're like,
you can't do
that. They go through their trash and their personal belongings, they find something.
Yeah, med students don't do that. Don't use
do that doctors
as a
do that?
No,
do they ever
not.
Go? They do that a lot in
no,
house.
No,
I know.
They like break
dude.
In.
Yeah. Jesse Spencer used to be on Neighbours, Australian. He's one of the doctors on House.
Yeah.
I might have to go work.
Did you not? Have you not watched? You just recently started watching House?
A couple of years ago. Oh. But it's the same thing with like Law and Order, SVU.
Yeah.
I've seen so much of it and so many medical dramas that now I really feel like I could diagnose people.
Yeah.
Where it's like, my mom's acting erratically. I'm like, well, I know that you think that it actually may be her getting older, but there's every chance it's either a reaction to particular drugs that she's taking or maybe she has a brain tumor.
Oh, great.
People stop talking to me about that.
Yeah.
It always comes down to some
I met a friend of mine has been dating a woman who is actually one of the people who collects DNA from crime scenes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, first question, is anything that happens in the TV shows like how it happens in real life? And she's like, there are so many issues with TV shows.
Yeah.
She's like, first off, they always like pick the gun up with a pencil. Like they stick they stick the pen or the pencil in like the thing. And
so
they pick
don't
it
touch
up.
It.
Yeah, exactly. But she's like, that ruins the residue on the inside of the gun. Like you would never pick one up like that.
Got
she's
it.
Like, you put on a pair of gloves and pick up the gun, you know? And she's like, the biggest one is that, like, all the women on these shows are showing, they're, like, wearing heels. She's like, you would never, ever wear
you
heels.
You gotta put the booties over it or something, right?
Is that, well, I mean, she's like, you're on your feet for, like, 8 or 9 hours at these scenes. Okay, like, you don't just show up and swab something and leave. Like, you don't wear heels. And she's like, and the other thing is that she's like, I have a specific pair of shoes that I wear to the crime scenes because you don't know what's sticking the bomb. She's like, they don't enter my house. Right. She leaves a pan of bleach by the door in her garage, and she takes her shoes off and lets them just sit in the bleach, and then goes in the house in her socks. Yeah,
I feel like the most accurate description or presentation of a female CSI in any entertainment medium has been Cate Blanchett in. Shaun of the Dead.
Wow, I forgot she was in that movie.
Has the head sort of like not even net. It's like she's got the head cover, the face cover, the whole suit.
Yeah.
Everything's like covered completely where you can't see them. That is the only sort of accurate depiction of how a woman should look on a crime scene.
I know. It's going back to Grey's Anatomy. I often wonder like when they're in the surgery.
Not Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz.
Okay, you're right.
It was one of three, let's be honest.
But like going back to Grey's Anatomy, like when they're doing all the surgery scenes and they're in their full scrubs with the masks on and they have these conversations the body. But I'm always like, I wonder how many of this is actually like VO. Because they're so muffled with those masks on and you can't actually see what their mouths are saying. I'm like, I bet this is an opportunity where in the edit, they're like, we can fix like plot holes by just having them say something else in this scene, but we can't see their mouth move.
I was reading like an interview or listening to one, whatever it was, from actors that have done medical dramas, and they were like, the hardest part is effortlessly saying all medical terminology. We just heard you try multiple times.
Oh, I've had many auditions for medical shows and having to say stuff like that. That is like the jargon is what it is. And like having to say that like you know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, the parabellum.
Really, No, it's really hard. Yeah. It's really freaking hard. Yeah.
Really freaking hard.
Really freaking hard.
What skill set have you learned as an actor that you could apply and use in real life?
Makeup. I just tried it this past week.
Honestly,
on the set of Allison's.
Yeah, right.
Makeup.
That isn't a bad one. I've really learned how to do my makeup far more better than
really?
I would have. Yeah, just watching people do my own makeup. I've learned how to do it better in real life.
You're a makeup artist. Put like a dab because I have this vein on my nose that people always think is like a pen mark. They always try
really?
They always try to wipe it off. If you get close, and so she covered that up in like part of my, you know, just my usual freckles and my moles, my red nose from all that drinking. She did a good job of making me look handsome.
Yeah.
What I learned, Mud.
I mean,
thank you. As an experienced actor, I'm glad you answered that one got the insight into it.
Okay, good. All right. I'm done.
Done.
I was keeping
Tom's done.
I was serious.
I mean, you probably feel this too as a host.
I mean, I kind of want to call you a thespian.
A thespian. You're a thespian.
Thespian at this stage.
But like, Maude,
That's it. You're the most experienced one here.
There was.
Much better than me.
Maude. Maude.
Hey.
She's just trying to boost
you. Must feel this too, that the skill that you've learned is like just being able to speak properly in public settings.
How's that going for me?
But you know what I mean, like learning how to project and actually say your words, because some people just can't do that.
Yeah.
You are right.
Yeah.
You are right. There is a trainer that I have, and he struggles to, you know, talk to the entire room.
Yeah.
And it's strange.
You can hear how people just aren't speaking properly.
You just don't have a strong sort of voice set.
Yeah.
I getcha.
All right, well, speaking of, we need to wrap this up. So we hope we see all of you Friday.
My beer was only 4.9%.
Are you done?
One and done.
You're like wasted. Maude's wasted.
I don't know if I'm wasted.
You're going to see
6.9%.
Yeah, you're going to see Wasted Maude this Friday. Please come visit us.
Oh my God, we should put money down for that. People should, that's a paid spectacle.
A paid spectacle.
That really is. That's a rare thing.
Our live shows are always a little longer too, so you might have two drinks during it. This will be Maude's first live show.
I'm excited for her.
Yay!
First live show as co-host.
Yes.
Oh wait, no.
Hold on. How do you make it live?
There will be people there watching it.
Oh my like that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not like streaming live, that's but we're going to be doing it in front of an audience.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have awesome. Our practice audience here.
Oh, no.
Brad and
Sandra, thank you so much for like being our warm up to Comic Con.
Breaking us in for Comic Con.
Yeah.
Thank you for the beer.
To everyone else who's going to be at Comic Con, 2:30 at Duckfoot Brewing on
East Village.
In the East Village. I should give the actual address, shouldn't I? That
would make it'll be on our Twitter. So just follow us at HalfHourHappyHR over on Twitter. All the details will be there. Make sure you're following at Alison Hayslip, at Maud Garrett, and at Tom. Did you spell Krajewski in your name?
So. I do. I spell Krajewski in my name when I spell my name.
Is it Tom Krajewski or is it Krajewski _ Tom? I forgot.
Oh, it's Allison just said it right.
Yeah. Krajewski.
Thank you, Allison.
But if you want to know the address, it's 550
Park
Boulevard.
Oh, great. He got it. Thanks, Podcat. Podcat will be there too. You get to meet Podcat in person.
Yeah.
Aristotle. So we hope we see you all there.
And his hair's blue, so you have to see it.
Yeah. It's kind of like a green blue. It's beautiful.
It's like a tidal wave of love.
It's amazing.
I'm getting my hair done this afternoon.
Yeah, you told us because you washed your hair for it and you were 4 minutes late.
Yeah.
anyway, please follow us. You already said the Twitter, but please subscribe to us and rate us on whatever you listen to us on, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play,
Spotify.
Tune in if we ever get that fixed. And that is it for this week's episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour
Ladies Night.
I'm Allison Hayslip.
I'm Maud Garrett. Tom.
Bye.
Thank you, Tom. White Mandango Crafty. I can't talk. I've had this whole beer.
Can we finish it that way every single time? And Tom.
Bye.
Bye. That's the best.
Star Bands Audio. A podcast network.